This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com. My name is James, junior editor of that website. You might also know me as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, my co-host, Nick Mason.
Whoa, oh, the longest.
For the longest time. That's a reference to something that happened before we started.
Yes, it did.
How are you?
I'm doing all right,
Having a good week?
Yeah, standard week stuff. You? Uh-huh. I feel like we haven't done this in a while, but it's only been a week, hasn't it?
I know, right? YouTube's back for you.
It is. Well, not back. I made a new one. YouTube.com/MrSundayMoviesMason. Check it out. Everybody, so many people have jumped back on board. It's amazing. I only put it up yesterday as of now.
Uh-huh.
It's been 24 hours. I've got like 600 odd subscribers or something, or close to. It's amazing because it took me many, many years to get that initially. And now I feel like I haven't earned it.
Well, you used to be boring. You used to be like a real boring guy. So that's probably it.
Now I'm all jazz.
It was just you pointing your webcam at like various things in your apartment. Just like, look, it's a plant on a ledge.
There are literally millions of YouTube videos like that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, so I just want to say thank you to everybody who supported, you know, through this whole thing or whatever. Uh-huh. I mean, the old one might come back, could very well, but I just wanted to also say, Mason, I'm not sure if I'm going to be doing movie news videos every week, because I feel like we do that here as well.
That's true, we do.
So I'll still do a Sunday video, but I'll do like a different
and
thing.
And oftentimes we'll do this, right?
Yeah.
And I'll go, he's got some sweet witticisms about that movie news that just happened. And then I'll go and I'll watch the video you did and I'll notice you just recycled what you did in your video.
Yep.
I'm like, you son of a bitch. I thought we were having a genuine conversation.
Well,
you pre-recorded your whole life.
Often, though, I get the witticisms from this conversation.
Oh.
Sometimes I just steal things that you say and use them.
Fair enough. That's okay. I don't remember anything I say,
okay,
so it doesn't matter.
Good. Yeah.
I've said that often that people will tweet at me with a phrase.
Yeah.
And they're like, that was so funny. And I'm like, was that me? Or is that just something you heard on the street? I don't remember. Thank you, though. Thank you for...
You'll never know.
Yeah.
Mason.
Yes.
I'm here. I know. Yes. Declan McCarthy actually wrote in with a, not a theme song, but like a series of clips that he's edited together as like a precursor to the new segment, which we're about to launch into.
Oh.
Right?
Have I been warned about this segment?
No.
Great.
I mean, the new segment, we do it every week.
Oh, news. I think you said a new segment.
Wow. It's new every week because the information is new.
That's true, yeah.
Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
I shouldn't ask. I'm just going to do it. Yeah. Right. Should we get straight into the news?
I'd love to get into the news.
Do you want me to kick it off?
Yeah, kick it off, mate.
Sure. Do we want to talk about Shia LaBeouf ever again?
No, let's put a moratorium on him.
I worked out like a mad dog for this role.
Absolutely, he did. We need to release more news. Rumors. I understand you don't want to talk about YouTube, though.
Forget about it!
New York style!
The best movie ever or the worst movie ever? No middle ground.
Wow. Controversial.
An inside source.
He's going to get fired.
I said no more Shia LaBeouf news.
Oh, my God.
Very brief Shia LaBeouf news.
Why?
I don't know.
Hashtag eat them eggs.
Oh! How do you like that?
Well, that was great that we've been turned into like a pair of morning radio jocks.
It does sound like that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, look, to be honest, we probably won't use a theme because we go theme song straight away and then straight into another theme song.
And that would also confuse people.
That would confuse people,
Is there Shia LaBeouf news? That's great, though. I enjoy Clips Package. That's super good.
Yeah, fun. It also demonstrates our varying audio quality. Have you noticed?
That's true as well.
Ebbs and flows, you know. Uh-huh. But yeah, Declan's gone through a bit of a rough patch at the moment as well. So I hope he's doing all right.
Absolutely.
He's doing better.
Fantastic.
He likes the show.
Yeah.
I don't know if he said loved. He said likes. Maybe he said tolerates.
He has to listen to it as some sort of prison experiment.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, speaking about that, can I just say something?
About prisons?
No, yeah. Well, so here's the thing. You know how I enjoy incongruous DVD box sets?
Oh, yeah.
And I ask listeners to send some in if they see one in a video store or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, I got two.
Nice. What do you got?
They're great. Okay, the first one from Andrew Richardson. It's pretty good. It's Die Hard 4.
Oh, yeah.
Live Free or Die Hard, right? Backed with X-Men Origins Wolverine, which I think is a good combination. Because it's just like, hey, assholes, you like shooting? Well, you like stabbing too, I guess. Stick that in your face, right? So that one's pretty great. Right, I enjoyed that one. But, and in any other week, that would have won, because that's great.
Yeah.
However, a friend of the show, Aaron Mitten.
Ah, I love him.
He's back. He has sent us one. It's a triple pack.
Yeah.
Right? And it's In Too Deep, which is like a crime film from 1999 with LL Cool J as like a mob boss.
That sounds really good.
Which is really good, right? Followed by Attica, which is a movie from the 80s, got Morgan Freeman in it, right? And it's like about the Attica prison riot from the 70s.
Yes.
Okay, so they kind of went in this crime, but it's not really. And you're like, is this just, have they just put movies with famous black people?
That's what I think.
Low budget, right? And that's what you'd think if you're working down these really slowly. But then you get to number three, which is Halloween H20, 20 years later.
That's not even the one where I think Exhibit kicks Mike Myers to death or something.
Oh, maybe that's the connection.
No, it's a different one. That's a different H20. It's not, might be Exhibit or Flo Rida or someone,
maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe they've thought that In Too Deep was Deep Blue Sea.
Okay.
The LL Cool J Killer Shark movie.
Yep. And maybe they thought Morgan Freeman is Samuel L. Jackson, who gets eaten by a shark.
Yeah. Or they thought Morgan Freeman was the Saw Killer.
Sure.
That's probably it. What a combination. Anyway, thank you, listeners.
Amazing.
Send any more if you got them.
Funny you mentioned that. S. Potter wrote it and said that he found one that has L.A. Complex, the complete series, Hitler Rise of an Empire, and One Direction All for One, but he doesn't have a picture.
Well.
Did it happen, Mason?
Did it happen? I don't know.
It's a tree falling
in the
woods scenario.
I'm going to take it on faith that it did happen, but I would like to see. Surely somebody else has seen that one.
I hope
like
so.
To see that.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, enough of my nonsense. Enough of my self-indulgence. There'll be more of that seconds from now.
Yeah, great. Are you familiar with the new Star Wars cast? Probably. We talked about it.
We did talk about it last year.
You know Max von Sydow?
I do know him, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They're saying that his character will be the villain, and he'll be what's referred to as the Ancient Fear, which is the subtitle, they say, rumored to be for the new Star Wars.
That was a good sentence.
I feel like I have not done this in a while, which isn't the case, but I really struggle through that.
So he's the Ancient Fear.
Yeah.
Is that...
So it's Star Wars Episode 7, The Ancient Fear.
And he is the Ancient Fear. Okay.
Yeah.
So is this, because they're not, they've destroyed the canon now, like none of the expanded universe stuff is canon anymore.
Yeah.
Is the Ancient Fear, is that, because they're sort of picking and choosing, is that anything from the expanded universe? Is there anything you can think of?
Not off the top of my head, no. I mean, there could be a lot of things. There's always like a Sith ghost or a...
There is always a Sith
ghost.
There's like a, there's always, you know, legendary Sith wizard magician types.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, okay.
Well, there's a guy in, I can't remember what he's in, but he's in that Thrawn trilogy. He's a cloned Jedi.
Right.
Can't remember what his name is, but he's like a bearded old man who's this crazy Jedi.
Uh-huh.
Could be him.
Hmm.
Just could be just a Sith ghost, which it probably is.
My ancient fear is that I've left the iron on after I've left the house.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Had that for ages.
Have you?
Yeah.
Like right now?
Right now.
As long as you sit it up, you'll be fine.
Okay.
There you go. I've solved your ancient fear.
That's a relief. I hope it can be solved as easily in Star Wars Episode 7, The Ancient Fear.
Yeah. You know, there was a number of TV show announcements this week,
uh-huh.
Mason. Community was cancelled, as I'm sure you heard.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of other crap.
You know what
renewed.
I heard it on Twitter because a lot of people said RIP Community.
Yeah.
And I couldn't be bothered looking it up. So I didn't watch it. I understand the last couple of series improved.
The last one was good. The one before that was the one that
Dan
Harmon didn't do.
Okay.
Which is not that. Uh-huh. It's okay. It's completely serviceable.
So did they make the legendary six seasons in a movie?
They made five seasons.
Ooh,
but
so
it could
close.
Be going to Netflix or
could
whatever.
Could be going to Netflix, you're
so,
right.
Yeah, there you go. But Mason, you'll be happy to know that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was renewed.
How about if they make that one season of Firefly count as the sixth season of Community?
And then Serenity is the movie.
Yeah,
absolutely.
There we go. Sorted. Okay, good.
Sure, done.
Okay.
Yeah, S.H.I.E.L.D. was renewed. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The cinematic universe is so strong.
That's true,
They'd be fools to cancel it, Mason.
Fools.
Especially because it has gotten a lot better. Agent Carter has been ordered.
Okay, great.
Set in 1946.
So that's a series run. They're going to do the full thing. Okay.
And the idea is that she works for an agency or whatever, and all the men have come back from war, so she's kind of been like pushed to the side. But she does a whole lot of secret missions for Howard Stark.
Cool.
So, you know, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they mentioned in Captain America 2 that she ends up getting married, so maybe there'll be a love interest or whatever.
Okay, so two questions.
Mm-hmm.
With the Agent Carter, does that mean there is a pilot leaked somewhere on the internet? Can we find that
not
yet?
Not at the moment.
That's a shame. Okay. And two... season 2 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Are there Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. action figures yet? Can I get an Agent Coulson? Because he's all over the place. He's in the movies, he's in the TV series, he's in the comic books now.
Though he wasn't in any of the Phase 3 movies. Well, they all think he's dead anyway.
Yeah,
I guess.
That's true.
But, yeah.
And he's in the Spider-Man, he's in one of the Spider-Man cartoons.
He is, yeah, yeah.
Series as the headmaster or something, or the principal.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so where's the action figure? Where's Principal Coulson action figure?
There probably is one for the Spider-Man series, actually.
Yeah, okay.
You know, but no, I'm sorry.
Yeah, thank you. You're forgiven.
Thank you. iZombie was greenlit. I haven't read that. You read any of that?
No.
Me neither. The Flash was greenlit. No surprise there.
Okay, yeah.
Constantine was picked up. No surprise there.
By any...
I think the same people who do Gotham. So I think is that right. NBC? I don't know. We should check. But...
Nah, Fox. I think it's Fox.
Oh, it is Fox. You're right. And also, I don't really remember this... Because I watched it earlier this week, but there was a Gotham trailer for the Gotham TV series.
Uh-huh.
You watched it, right?
I watched it, yeah.
What did you think of that?
Well, we saw the...
Pinguano.
We saw Pinguano. We saw that, you know, we saw the on-set photos, you know, a couple of months back of him, of Ben McKenzie sans moustache.
Was that month that we harassed Ben McKenzie?
Yeah, with hashtag McKenzie moustache.
Yes.
Thank you to everybody for doing that for us, by the way. And that it was the rooftop chase. He's chasing somebody, and we sort of see where that's leading.
Yeah,
He's chasing a guy.
He is.
He's chasing a guy who's like, there's going to be trouble for Gotham. It was a little bit Men in Black.
It was.
Oh, opening scene of Men in Black.
Where he's like confused.
Yeah, exactly.
Like ominous things, but he doesn't know what's up.
No, but he chases the guy across the roofs.
Yeah, fair point.
Uh-huh. And we see some villain. It's interesting that we're seeing the people who will become Batman's nemeses.
Yeah.
But they're older than him. Like, have you ever thought of the Riddler being older than Batman?
No, actually, I haven't. Yeah,
Penguin, I can see, is older than
Batman. Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Yeah,
that's very interesting.
No Black Mask. I assume there would have been a Black Mask.
Well, you can't introduce everything at once. They've got Fish Mooney, Jada Pinkett Smith. That's the main villain.
Great.
So that's good.
Yeah, Fish Mooney.
That classic Batman villain.
Yeah.
Fish Mooney. But the showrunner, Bruno Heller says that we will see the Joker or pre-Joker. So I'm assuming leader of the Red Hood gang, or it could be when he's the comedian. There's a bunch of Joker origins.
I was just wondering about that because we don't see him in the trailer.
No.
I think that's fraught with peril. Because
to not have him in the trailer.
No, I think it's fraught with peril to put him in the series.
I agree.
Because I would like to hear your thoughts on it, but first my thoughts.
Yeah.
I don't think the Joker works if he has a definitive origin.
Agreed.
I'd much prefer the idea that he is so... Like, that he doesn't... That every time he tells... Like in The Killing Joke, every time he tells his origin, it's different.
Yep.
Either because it amuses him to do that, or because he's so insane that he can't remember where he came from.
Yep.
And to actually see his origin, it takes a lot of the magic out of it, I think.
I completely
It's a Wolverine
agree.
Origin situation, you know what I mean?
I do.
Yeah.
I do know what you mean. Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. You took all those words out of my mouth. I would have said them much better.
Why don't you put them in one of your bloody news video posts then? Do that, hey? You son of a bitch. All right.
So yeah, that's pretty good. Also, I think it was the producer of the show said it's going to look better than the Dark Knight movies.
Really?
Yep. It's bold.
That is very bold. Yeah, okay.
So yeah, there you go. I think it was a producer or somebody involved in it. Should do more research.
I think what they mean is one of the sets. Like all the sets are going to be in one of the school buses from the opening scene.
Okay, right.
They bought one of the school buses.
I'm just imagining dark alleys, usually the same alley with different trash cans.
Yep.
And just like smoke.
Yep.
Like that's what I'm picturing.
PG graffiti. I think I've mentioned my love of PG graffiti.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah, yeah.
You suck.
You suck.
I like rap. You know, some of that.
Who doesn't?
Yep.
Okay, now you may have heard also, Mason, this week, that Lionsgate and Saban Brands
have is this a Mighty Morphin Power Rangers?
You
thing?
Better believe
Yay!
It is. Did you hear this?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Yeah, so they're making a live action Power Rangers movie. Another one. There was one in, I think, 95.
There's been a couple, I think.
And there was one in 97, I
there
think.
Was Power Ran- I, there was Power Rangers some regular.
That's what it was
original
called.
Original recipe.
Power Rangers some regular.
Power Rangers original recipe. Power Rangers Turbo. Now, there's yeah. Turbo a Power Rangers movie. There we go.
Okay, yeah. I for me, that came. For me, when I was a little bit older, I was still young, but I was off the back of like Ninja Turtle. So I was kind of like, I'm over all this karate nonsense.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm clearly not now.
No, we're right back in.
But I'm okay. I like Power Rangers. Yeah, good on it, whatever.
It will be interesting to see if they are they going to actually make new mech battle sequences. Like, or are they just going to find a slightly bigger budget, you know, mech Japanese. Film and just steal those again.
I doubt. I'd be very
surprised.
The old
series were just
that they just refilmed all the high school stuff and used the other footage and like spliced it in. But no, but because it's Lionsgate who do like Hunger Games and Twilight and all that, I'm assuming they'll put a lot of money behind it. People love giant monsters and mechs shit, man. Mm-hmm. People are into it.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a fool to think otherwise.
Yeah,
alright. I remember the time, right? I remember when Power Rangers came out. I looked in the TV guide as I do every week and be like, what's on this week or whatever? And it was like 4 o'clock and it was like new show. It was called, you know, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. And I was like, what is that? That's a ridiculous name. I'll check it out. And I watched it and I'm like, okay, this is interesting. This looks a lot like Voltron, right? Because I was a big fan of Voltron, as you probably don't know.
I remember.
You remember how big a fan I was? Yes. Sure. Yeah. And then as it progressed...
I remember your Voltron jammy jams. One lion, each arm and leg. Sure.
And then when they all got their own robots, I'm like, wait a minute. And then they formed together to make a big guy.
Yep.
And I got super angry. And then they pulled out the sword.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just couldn't believe it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, this is outrageous.
Little did we know at the time that that is
every Japanese I know.
Southeast Asian kind of action film for action show for children is just... people getting their robots to combine into a bigger robot. There's dozens. If there was 100, I would not be surprised.
No.
Yeah.
I completely agree. So, yeah, now I know.
How do they get away with it?
Nobody patented it in the first place.
That's a good point, yeah. Yeah. Mm. Also, we got a lot of cop shows. So,
yeah,
you know,
we do have a lot of cop shows. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Gotham.
So we get a lot of good Australian cop shows, don't we?
No.
You're right. We have none.
Correct.
I think... no, we don't have any. There's never been one.
Well, we don't have police.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Mad Max is an accurate representation of Australian justice.
There's nothing to base it off.
Somebody steal your petrol, you shoot them.
That's right.
You leave them in the desert.
Ah, Mason. Now, we watched The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
I have another thought about Mighty Morphin Power Rangers?
You loved it.
No.
You loved the weird big suits?
No. Why hasn't there been a Voltron movie yet?
Yeah, that's
why
a good question.
Why are they bringing back Mighty Morphin Power Rangers?
That's a really good... I meant to bring that up. This is going to kill the Voltron movie if this goes forward. You get in first and all of a sudden that's... what people...
Or will it, though?
Well, it depends how well it does, I guess.
And how shabby it looks. It's going to look shabby.
I don't know, because it's Lionsgate. Yeah. If it was a smaller company, I would agree.
If it was the Asylum who produced Sharknado.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think it'd be all right.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Or not.
Mm.
Will live?
Yeah.
Good. The Amazing Spider-Man...
I think there might be a Speed Racer kind of situation where I don't see it and it doesn't affect my life at all.
Do you ever see Speed Racer?
No, it didn't, and it didn't affect my life at all.
I wonder if he won that race.
I'm going to say yeah.
Good. No, we don't have to see it.
Great.
The Amazing Spider-Man 2, Mason. It made $92 million in the US last weekend, which is a lot of cash dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. Mm. But that's fallen well short of what they wanted. That's the fourth highest opening for a Spider-Man movie.
Uh-huh.
I think Spider-Man 3 opened with $150 million. And the last one opened a little bit less. And they were hoping for something like $120, I'd imagine. Little do you know, Mason.
If somebody handed you $92 million... and then said, but I could have handed you $150 million. Would you be upset?
No. I would be. I guess. Maybe
we're just
a little.
Simple men, aren't we? With simple pleasures, right. You know? Simple dreams.
Yeah, yeah. So, the interesting thing is, though, this could be like the law of diminishing returns for Spider-Man movies from now on.
Right.
Okay. I think people are sick of Spider-Man movies. We were okay with that movie, right?
It was fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
But I think, I remember, because I've been speaking to people who not a fan of, you know, comic book movies or whatever.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, did you see Captain America? And they're like, I saw Captain America, I loved it, didn't expect to, or whatever. And I said, you know, do you see Spider-Man? And they're like, no, because that's all I've seen. It.
Right, exactly, yeah.
So that's the problem right there.
Mm-hmm.
And now where they've taken this stance of no Miles Morales and whatever, we're just, mm-hmm. I mean, the Sinister Six is an interesting concept that they'll go into, but if nobody sees Spider-Man 3, nobody's going to...
Exactly, yeah.
Not that nobody's going to see it, but do you know what I mean? I mean,
you're putting your foot down and saying literally nobody's going to see it.
So yeah, I guess it's interesting, right?
Yes.
But anyway, on the back of that though, Mason.
Yeah.
X-Men: Days of Future Past is tracking for $125 million opening weekend.
That's coming out in like 2 weeks, right?
Yeah. Well, though we're seeing it on Friday. Oh. We're going to the premiere.
Oh yeah, cool.
Remember, I bought tickets, tickets, with that $92 million.
Great.
But yeah, so.
You should remind me about that again, because I'll probably forget.
Okay, cool.
I might have scheduled something on Friday. I'll let me get out of that.
Sure, no worries. Which would be the biggest debut for the franchise.
I think people... just texting, sorry I can't make it to your dad's funeral. Wolverine. Okay, cool, we're sorted. Good.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
So I think people are more excited for this movie. I think it's the second most expensive film of all time. I've talked about this make. Mm. So yeah, I think it might do all right, Mason. So I thought, why not a good a week as any to talk about X-Men movies?
So yeah, what, it's going to make bloody $92 million? Because I'm going to go in and buy a large Coke and a popcorn. Oh. Am I right? Expensive.
Absolutely.
Yep.
You know, you can bring other food into the cinema. You don't need to buy that popcorn.
Huh.
I'm sick of your cinema going, embracing it.
I'm embracing it.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't do nothing.
So I thought, let's go through the history of the X-Men films. Uh-huh. Talk a little bit about our favourites or whatever, and we'll do this. Our patented best movie ever, worst movie ever.
Great.
That's patented, right? You took care of that?
Look. We're in trouble.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. We're going to get sued by everybody.
So yeah, but I wanted to ask you this first of all. I've got two requests of you.
Okay.
One request. Can you point out in each movie when and how Professor X gets Professor X?
Okay, great. I'm ready.
For those not aware, that's when they write out the most powerful character who could solve every scenario.
Yeah, it's at the point where they realize, okay, here's the tipping point. If Professor X is available, he's going to end this strife. So
immediately.
Let's have him slip on something.
Second request.
Yep.
Can you hum the X-Men movie score?
No, I can't. No, you have to start me off.
No, I can't do it. So I thought maybe I'll just put in this sweet intro to start, just to get everybody jazzed.
All right.
And you might think it's familiar because you just sung it.
Okay.
What a great theme
Pretty
song.
Pretty great, yeah.
Why didn't they just use that?
Yeah, with the claws slashing and the
why wouldn't
plane
you?
Taking off.
Man.
Juggernaut running into a other guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. So, yeah, Mason.
People in the middle. Innocent people.
Innocent people. Mm. Killed. X-Men, the year 2000. You remember that? We were both at school, I think.
Yeah.
Sure?
No, I graduated high school.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah.
Now
I'm still wearing my Letterman's jacket, though.
Keep it alive.
Yep. I'm still hanging around the malt shop with my best girl.
Did you go to school reunion?
I was in the Jets. No, I didn't.
Me neither.
No. We had a 6-month one. That's way too early, right? That was just people pointing out what phone they had. That was basically it.
Now, I didn't rush out to see this movie at the time because it was on the back of a whole bunch of just mediocre comic book movies.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was nobody in it that I was really interested in seeing. I remember when, Patrick Stewart was cast, and I went, great casting, of course.
Yep.
But other than that, I was like, nah, not really.
And then what happened?
And then I saw it on VHS. You were there, actually.
Huh.
And I loved it. And it's pretty great. I mean, it's a bit dated.
I mean, it was certainly better on the big screen, sure. Not on VHS.
Did you go see the cinema?
Idiot. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Did you love it at the time? Did you embrace it?
I embraced it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I embraced Hugh Jackman as a peer.
Sure.
Can we talk? I pulled this photo up. This is on, like, the internets.
I'm familiar.
Because the X-Men movies have spanned, like...
13, 14
years. Yeah. And you've got your early Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
At 31 in X-Men.
Yeah.
And then over here in the Wolverine.
Ridiculous.
He's gotten ripped.
Yeah.
He's worked out like a mad dog. Well, that's the thing. Because I guess you wouldn't want to commit to working out that hard in the first one just in case it doesn't fly, like the series doesn't fly.
Well, because there was a whole lot of people, other people cast before him, I'd imagine he came along pretty late as
right,
well.
Right, right, right.
But, yeah, there's a significant size difference
right, right.
in that. And also, well, that wasn't really a requirement then, was it, to get as big as you possibly could?
That's actually a good point.
It was kind of
yeah.
like, just work out a bit,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't really matter. You'll mostly be in a leather suit, so
exactly, yeah.
Forget it. I mean, he wasn't, you know, he still looked pretty good in the movie, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were both impressed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Did you know, Mason, I've got a bunch of trivia for this
I'm ready.
As well. So, you know, did you know this is the only X-Men film that's, it's an original story. All other films were based on stories from the comics.
Yeah.
X-Men First Class, though.
Yeah.
What's that based off? There's a whole lot of young Magneto, young Xavier stuff.
No, I don't. What is your source for that?
IMDb's.
Oh, okay.
So, okay. Well,
that might be an old piece of trivia.
Might be, yeah.
I think that's based on 1, 2, and 3.
X-Men 2.
God Loves, Man Kills.
X-Men 3. Phoenix Saga and the Joss Whedon one about the mutant cure.
Yep, okay.
Wolverine Origins is based on an Origins Wolverine comic.
Correct.
The Wolverine's based on the Japanese saga.
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty sure First Class is based off a bunch of stuff, though.
Yeah, I would say so.
I might be wrong.
That's too general, yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. That's old trivia.
Lift
your game IMDb trivia section. I bet we'll have some outdated goofs as well. You know?
Do you know Robert Rodriguez and Tim Burton were approached to direct?
As a team?
As a team.
That'd be great. I'd watch that.
Me too. They turned it down in favour of other films. The Robert Rodriguez one I wouldn't mind of seeing, but no, I don't want to see a Tim Burton X-Men.
Absolutely not.
God,
no.
Richard Donner was approached.
Don't want to see it.
Joel Schumacher was approached.
Don't want to see it.
That must have been around before Batman and Robin came out. But they're like, well, he's done the Batman,
so he could
probably do it. Brett Ratner. Who eventually did do one.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to see that.
No.
Either of them. Joel McTiernan.
Die Hard?
Die Hard.
Okay.
And Die Hard 2.
Has he
didn't do Die Hard 2.
Has he ever done anything that is superhero-y or supernatural or anything like that?
He did Supernatural, the TV show Supernatural.
That's not true.
I can check. Do you want to check?
Please do.
I like how we pick and choose what we look up.
Mm.
Like, it's just sometimes they're like, nope, it's against the rules of the show.
Yeah.
But other times they're like, yeah,
because I know I'd be fascinated. Is it just because he's a good action director?
I would say so. I know, well, look, I don't think they were looking for a comic book director then necessarily. Uh-huh. Because there weren't that many of them.
That's true.
Well,
yeah.
Except for the ones that I did mention.
They were making the rules.
Yeah,
they were making the rules, then breaking the rules.
That's it.
What I enjoyed a lot actually in X-Men 1 is the villains were very good. Like they took what I would consider like a terrible villain, like Toad.
Yeah.
And they gave the role to Ray Park, who's Darth Maul.
Yeah, killing it.
And killing it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They made Why I like a villain, I like a hero or a villain that knows what they're doing.
Yes.
Like the Grant Morrison Justice League comic was great because everybody on that team knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
That's why they were the best.
Absolutely.
And similar in this, in X-Men 1, the bad guys are in the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants because they are the best. All Toad can do is stick to walls and phlegm, and he's got a long tongue, and he can take down half the team by himself.
Yeah.
Because he knows what he's doing.
Very good
point. Yeah.
You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Nomads, 1986.
Never heard of it.
Predator, 1987.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Never heard of it. Die Hard, Hunt for Red October, Medicine Man, Last Action Hero, Die Hard with a Vengeance. So he didn't do Die Hard 2. He did the two best Die Hards. There you go. 13th Warrior, haven't seen. Thomas Crown Affair, haven't seen. Rollerball, and the last one was Basic. And there's one upcoming project called Red Squad, which is apparently amazing. Never heard of it. Don't know anything
exactly,
about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there you go. I think it would have been an okay choice,
yeah.
I guess. Uh-huh. I mean, Rollerball was pretty great.
It might have been one. I reckon if he'd done it, it would have been more of a film where it was, they were much more of like a paramilitary team. And
okay.
It was less
yep.
mutant powers. I reckon they all would have had guns.
Yeah, you're probably right. Mm. Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Did you know Wolverine's line mate? Oh, sorry, there's a few other ones who were considered. Danny Boyle. That would have been interesting.
Yeah,
you
love Danny Boyle.
I do.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck you. I do love Danny Boyle. Stephen Hopkins. No,
no,
him.
Yeah, no idea.
Irvin
I
Kershner.
I say Stephen Hawking.
Oh, imagine. Mm. Stephen Dorff.
Oh.
He would have been a good blood monster from Blade.
Absolutely.
Irvin Kershner, who did Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Though, I don't think he did a
What's
film...
What's he done since then?
Well, he's dead. But...
What's he done for us lately, huh?
But he hasn't done anything.
What an asshole.
He hasn't done anything as good as Empire Strikes Back. I don't think, anyway.
Yeah.
To break our cardinal rule, Mason, I can check, though.
Please do.
And he.
You know what? This is the looking it up episode. We're going to look up everything. There's going to be a lot of pauses where we look up unimportant information that all our listeners probably know anyway, and they're just shouting at us, going, of course he did. We know he did that one, and he did this and this. You're so ignorant.
Oh, he did an episode of Sequest TSV.
Ooh.
I did Robocop 2.
Yep.
He did Never Say Never Again, which is probably terrible.
Yep.
No, a bunch of
what
other
season
stuff.
Of Sequest TSV was it? Was it the one where they were in space?
Episode 1.
Oh.
So, the best one?
Yeah, that was the best, yeah.
You also did, you remember the show Amazing Stories?
Yep.
Did a few episodes
of that. That was the theme to that.
Yeah. I know it.
This is the theme and looking stuff up episode.
There's a bunch of stuff from like the 50s and 60s, which I do not recognize. Do you know The Young Captives?
No.
It's one of the classics. One of the greats, Mason. I don't know it. So yeah, but that was all before Bryan Singer was chosen.
Did you know there was a John Wayne film called They Were Expendable?
No.
No, I was just curious as to know whether they initially attempted to make, you know, because there's the Expendables.
Yeah.
You're familiar with them.
I'm familiar.
I was wondering if they were like, hey, let's streamline this, and because I haven't seen it, and maybe that's the basis for those
it's
films.
It's possible.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope they bring back a digitized John Wayne. But they get back the John Wayne where he played Genghis Khan.
And he's taped the eyelids.
So what?
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, I would like to see them resurrect dead action heroes. Steve, would you watch Expendables 4 if Steve McQueen was in it?
No, out of principle, because
really?
I love Steve McQueen, and that's very uncool, because Steve McQueen and Sly Stallone are very different, and Steve McQueen's a legend, and I don't care for Stallone.
But what if they have, like a natural on-screen chemistry? You know, Sylvester Stallone and dead Steve McQueen.
How is that possible? Stallone has zero chemistry, aside from the chemistry he pumps into his weird physique. Zing.
Zing, human growth hormone.
So, yeah, I guess if it was amazing...
Come on, you'd watch that.
I would.
Yeah.
Yeah. All my heroes are dead, Mason.
I know.
Fuck it.
Wait a second.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Thank you.
For now.
Ooh. Yeah, no, I would say that. But what was I going to say about that? When is Expendables 3 out?
This year.
Because you made that pact, remember?
What was the pact?
It was something about Harrison Ford. If he says, get off my plane. If he doesn't say, get off my plane, you have to...
I have to shoot myself.
Yeah.
That's right.
Let's say not to death, though. Let's
no,
just in the leg.
I have to do it. Okay. I'm a man of my word, Mason.
Fine.
Except when it comes to looking these up or not looking things up.
Correct.
You know the Wolverine's line, what do they call you, wheels? That was ad-libbed by Hugh Jackman, who hates people,
people with disabilities. Yeah.
And did you know, I didn't know this, but Storm has an African accent in this, and it's the only one that she used it in. Did you pick that up? I mean, I haven't seen it recently, but...
I would have said she had a vague sort of accent.
Yeah.
But I couldn't have said what region it was from.
Nah, region of Africa. You don't know your African region.
And also, she's only got about three lines in that whole film.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
And then including the famous... what happens to a toad when it gets hit by lightning? The same thing that happens to everything else.
And you deliver that better than
Sherry
right. did.
Well, see, yeah. that was apparently was supposed to be like flat like that. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
Same thing that happens to everything else.
Just right. like an offhand.
Yeah. I'm a very good actor.
Do you know Bryan Singer's first choice to play Wolverine was Russell Crowe, but he had to turn it down for monetary reasons. Do you want to hear some other names? Of course you do.
Because he couldn't get through the door, mate. Too wide. Fat Russell Crowe.
He was trim then.
Okay.
He was doing gladiators.
Oh,
doing all
sorry,
sorts.
You're right.
He's up and down, mate, that guy. He certainly doesn't work out like a mad dog, but, you know, he keeps it.
It's interesting that both his choices were...
Aggressive Australian men.
I was going to I was trying to think of a way to say Antipodean. Somebody from Australia or New Zealand.
Okay, yeah.
Because we don't want Russell Crowe anymore. Wait, do we want Russell Crowe?
Well, he hasn't done anything lately that we're against.
He hasn't thrown a phone at anybody. Okay, he's Australian again. Good.
Now, some other names include... I was going to bring something up. So
I'm
going to
say, I can remember some of these options, I think.
Sure, what do you got?
Glenn Danzig?
Yeah, well, that was in the early 90s.
Oh, okay, right.
And he was up... Well, we're not upset, but he didn't see the X-Men movie because he was like, it's ridiculous. Uh-huh. Or he did see it and he hated
and
it.
And that's when they wanted really short people to play Wolverine,
Who is really short. He's really short. But he was famously quoted as saying, if he did it, he would have played the role less gay. He said that.
Wow.
So, yeah. But I think at the time, he was approaching 40 and they wanted someone younger. Because he's been around for quite a while.
Glenn Danzig is gay. Let me check. I'm going to look that up.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Aaron Eckhart?
Don't see it.
Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Don't see it and don't like it.
Viggo Mortensen?
That would work.
Yeah. Edward Norton. Bearing in mind this is off the back of American History X.
Maybe. I'm gonna give you a maybe.
Give you a maybe. All right, cool. I've got one other amazing one which was revealed this week while you look up whether Glenn Danzig is... No, his name's not Glenn, is it?
No, it is Glenn. It's Glenn Danzig.
Is it? Cool. Yeah.
No, don't worry about it.
All right.
It's irrelevant.
The other one, and this only came out this week,
uh-huh.
in 1997, this piece of concept art was drawn up, only recently surfaced. That is Mel Gibson.
Wow, that's very late 80s, early 90s.
They wanted Mel Gibson, apparently.
Uh-huh.
People were saying that he should get the role now, for an old Wolverine. And I think he'd be good, but at the same time, he doesn't deserve it, and he shouldn't get it, because he's a bad person.
Yeah, because he's not Australian.
And he's not Australian.
He's lost his Australian.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm thinking of Rob Halford from Judas Priest.
Okay.
He's gay.
But he also said...
Irrelevant, as we put, irrelevant, but it's just...
He also said the same thing, though.
Yeah.
So, you know, there you go. Do you know there's a continuity error in this, Mason? In this
What's
movie?
That?
There's a bit like...
These movies are riddled with continuity errors.
I just want to talk about this one, though.
Okay, I'm ready.
There's a scene that was praised by fans, right? Because
us.
When... Yes.
Great.
Us, particularly. When Iceman is talking and it's a sunny day and he's got like an ice breath.
Uh-huh.
Just a little touch.
Right.
nice, right?
Uh-huh.
But it turns out to be the scene where Mystique is impersonating him, meaning he wouldn't have ice breath.
Correct, that's
so
true.
So it's also amazing but wrong.
Mm.
So good work.
Well, yeah. Well captured.
Yeah, unless she can do that as well, but I don't think that's in her skill set.
No, it isn't. But let's no prize this. She has some crushed ice in her mouth.
Okay, good.
There we go. Because she is a perfectionist.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, I got some other names here I forgot to mention. Gary Sinise for Wolverine.
Yep, okay.
Keanu Reeves for Wolverine.
Nope.
Doug Ray Scott.
I was going to say that. That's the one
he
I was thinking
was
of.
He was cast.
Yep.
He then went on to be in Desperate Housewives, Mission Impossible 2, not in that order, and then he died of a broken heart.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, apparently Hugh Jackman ran into him one point, and he kind of just like apologized, sort of. He's like, he didn't really know what to say properly.
Right.
I mean, what do you say, like, I stole your career,
yeah.
essentially. And then relatively...
My bad. But that happens all the time,
all the
surely,
time.
Yeah.
It's just a weird twist of fate.
Like, there's always... We always talk about, you know, roles people could have had, and you think of somebody like...
Like delicious roles.
Yeah, delicious, like a cinnamon roll.
Yeah.
But, like, when you... An example is Sean Connery.
Yeah.
And he has, like, this endless list of things that he could have done, but he didn't understand them, and then they turned out to be huge hits, and then he did something because he thought it was similar, and then it turned out to be a disaster or whatever.
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. The Matrix / The Extraordinary Gentleman.
/ Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, but he's also been in tons of amazing films.
Yeah.
You know, these lists go on forever. Pretty much in Hollywood, everybody is considered for every role at a certain point.
Yes,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah.
But I feel like he's never quite bounced back from that.
No, that's true.
But there you go.
Yeah.
Did you know also
that... call his buddy Joe McTiernan.
Yeah.
From Hunt for Red October.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Good point.
Okay, what? I'm ready.
Wait, Sean Connery?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I meant bounce hasn't been... I mean, the other guy didn't bounce back.
Oh, Dougray Scott.
Dougray.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a shame. Would you know him if you saw him on the street?
Yeah. Hmm. I wouldn't say anything, right. But I'd know
him. Is that because he's your mailman?
You know there was, you know how there's like a Magneto background in this that's filmed, yeah. That's at the start. It's a great opening scene, and they replicated in First Class.
That's not reused footage in First Class.
No, they reshot that
with a different actor.
With a different actor.
Okay, right.
Yeah, well, it's a kid.
Yeah, I know. The kid's, I know what a kid
kids age basically.
I know.
You know how they had Rogue's background as well, but yeah. Similarly, or sort of, they sort of had Rogue. They had Storm and Cyclops background scripted and storyboarded.
Uh-huh.
And Storm's involved her changing the weather dramatically in Africa, and it like just wrecks a whole bunch of stuff. And
she made it rain.
Yes.
With cash.
She sure did.
In a strip club.
Yes. And Cyclops, that involved him, his powers manifesting when as a teenager when he's in a school bathroom, and he just like tears it apart.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, that's interesting, and yeah. That bathroom will come into play later, Mason. So remember that.
Keep in the
that...
opening sequence of Casino Royale.
Yes.
Yeah. Were they going to have him because originally he could control his eye powers?
Yeah,
optic
and then
glass,
he got
but
a
then he got a head
hit
injury.
To the head, could, yeah.
Were they going to have him be in control of that?
I don't think so. Huh. Yeah. But
well, that streamlines it.
Yeah.
You don't want to build in a car crash scene.
Nah, absolutely not.
Have I talked about on the podcast how much I hate the car crash angle?
Oh, is this where there's a guy...
Well, you know, when
we haven't talked about this.
Yeah, two people are in a car, maybe. They're having a conversation, right?
Yeah.
And then the camera angle cuts to perhaps the driver's perspective. Oh, man, you know what? The passenger's perspective, they're looking at the driver.
Yeah.
And you can see the person's face, and you can see a little space to the side. You can see out the window. Like,
yeah.
What you can see outside
there's
the window.
There's a weird... blank
there's
gap,
a weird blank space right. Like what's going to happen in that? I feel really tense anytime you see that angle, the car crash angle, because you know what, a truck's going to come, or a dinosaur usually, or a murderer, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
I hate that angle.
You hate it because it's poor filmmaking, or you hate it because it makes you like tense?
Both of those things. Yeah.
Cool. Gotcha.
What were we talking about? I've forgotten.
Bathroom scenes from
there,
X-Men.
Okay.
Remember I said to remember that fact?
Yep.
It comes into play right now.
Should I note it down?
No. Okay. But you can forget this immediately after.
Fantastic.
This is for you guys at home as well. The bathroom set was the one used in X-Men 2. Remember when Mystique...
No, I don't remember a bathroom sequence in X-Men 2.
No, it is. When Mystique grabs that security guard and she's like, I'm going to have sex with you. But then she like knocks him out and injects him with the metal. That's the same bathroom set.
Yeah.
So... recycling in movies, Mason.
Yeah, okay.
It's great. I got one more piece of trivia.
I'm ready.
Ready? Hugh Jackman got his testicles caught in his harness.
I thought that was going to go somewhere else. And I was going to be like, maybe he got his testicles caught in the... Like, I was going to make a sweet joke about somebody getting their testicles caught. But apparently, somebody's made that joke for me, and that someone is life.
Hugh Jackman got his testicles caught in his harness after a 6-foot jump off the set's Statue of Liberty. Have you ever been in a harness and you get your testicles a little squashed?
No.
It's very unpleasant.
I'm not surprised.
I'd be surprised if you were surprised.
Didn't he also arrive on the set of Oprah?
Yes. Oprah came to Australia.
That's right.
He came down on a big zip line and he like crashed at the end and cut his face.
Oh yeah. Okay.
But like a hero, like a great Australian hero,
yep.
He moved on.
Fantastic.
Every story I've heard about Hugh Jackman, and I've heard stories from people who have met him, say he's like the best guy in the world.
I've also heard that.
Yeah. You got any you want to recount?
No.
Okay.
He rescued me from burning building once. He said don't talk about it, but I'm talking about it anyway.
I'll tell a Hugh Jackman story another day, Mason, because it's not that interesting.
Okay.
X-Men 2, X-Men United.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird though. At the time, I remember walking out of this because I was so pumped and I was a little bit disappointed.
Uh-huh.
But this movie's great.
Mm. It's grown on you.
Absolutely. Like the second time
I
watched it.
Oh, wait, did we say X-Men 1, best movie ever or worst movie
well,
ever?
Well, for the time, definitely best movie ever.
Mm-hmm.
The black suits, I know people don't agree with that and whatever, but it was a different time, Mason. It was
a
different
time. It was a different time,
it was a simpler time.
It was a time when you had to wear a black suit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'm going to say best movie ever. I enjoyed it a lot. I would go back to it again. It's a fun film.
It is a fun film.
Yeah, it's a fun...
film.
Film.
Well put.
Thank you.
X-Men 2, X-Men United. Yeah, what did you think of that at the time?
It wasn't called X-Men United over here, though, right?
No, it was just called X-Men 2, I think. Yeah.
Mm. Good. X-Men United.
I don't know. I don't make the rules. It's like The Amazing Spider-Man 2 Rise of Electro, which it's called here.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Mm.
Should I just go as trivia then? Have you got zero opinions?
Do
on
I have
this
opinions?
Movie?
Okay, what happened in that one? Give me the quick.
There was a striker.
Oh, that's right. We forgot about the when does Picard? When I was going to say Picard.
Yeah, Picard.
When does Professor X get Professor X?
Oh, good
in
point.
In X-Men 1.
Well,
Mystique puts the black goo in Cerebro, right?
I think it's blue.
Blue goo in Cerebro, yeah. And then he uses Cerebro and he gets Professor X'd.
How does that work? Because it doesn't go into him, it's just in the helmet. Like, that goo doesn't go into his head.
It was probably that goo that they used to clean combs at a hairdresser's. You know that stuff?
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was such a thing.
And that, because he's a bald man, was so just outrageous to him that he had a fit. He spent his whole life just... Remember he had that beautiful head of hair?
He did.
And then he lost it all. And he was like, I swear I will never encounter anything that you might find in a hairdresser. I'll never encounter hot rollers. I'll never look at them again. I'll never wear one of those cape things. I've got to stay away. And then she put the blue goo in. And he's like, no! And then it just knocked him right out.
I'll never have a banal conversation with a hairdresser.
Yeah, about what I'm going to do on the weekend.
That neither of us care about. Yeah. Did you know, Mason, in X-Men 2, X-Men United?
Oh, we're back to X-Men 2. No, yeah, I'm ready.
Ian McCallum worked with screenwriters in the scene where Bobby Drake tells his parents that he's a mutant to make it more like a kind of coming out scene.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, wow.
That is quite a good scene, though, as well. Yeah. It's got some amusing touches to it as well.
Mm.
Would you really be that upset if your kid had amazing powers?
I'd be concerned that they'd be taken away by the government. Experimented on.
Yeah, fair point. Mm. But other than that, you could be like, Bobby Drake.
Check out what my kid can do.
I would. If I had the Iceman kid, I'd go to public swimming pools with him and make him freeze it as people jump in. Just cracking skulls and spines. That's what I'd do.
Just being a public menace. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know the bit where everybody freezes? Where Professor X...
Yep.
Professor X's everybody.
Yeah.
And they all freeze. They're all mimes and stuff. That's not an effect.
Interesting.
Street performers and mimes and whatnot. Hmm. That's a good use of practical technology.
I'm going to go straight into the Professor X-ing. Because what happens in X-Men 2, if I recall, because he goes to visit Magneto in the plastic prison.
Yeah.
And then...
Which is a great scene, that whole thing.
Yeah, that
when
was
he
good.
Breaks out.
But
and...
then he realizes that... They were going to capture him to put him in the fake Cerebro.
He knew he was going to be Professor X'd.
Yeah, he knew he was going to be Professor X'd, right? And then they gas the room, knock him out. They Professor X him. But, because we just talked about, right in the first scene, he freezes everybody's minds within, several hundred yards.
Oh, yeah.
So why couldn't he just...
Professor X
Professor everyone. X everybody in that room. Be like, even if the gas is going, you go, okay, everybody... Stop Professor X-ing me. Switch the gas off. You two come down and guard me until the gas is cleared. You come revive me.
Yep.
Exactly. And then he's sorted.
Really good point.
Yeah.
That's a different scene from the breakout scene as well, isn't it?
That's
an earlier scene.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Mm.
Great movie, though.
Yeah. Let's say there were some psychic buffers or something.
Sure. Whatever.
Special prison.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, great.
That's a no prize right there.
Thank you.
Ethan Embry run the...
It was all set in a giant version of Magneto's helmet. If you go to the outside of the prison, it's just big helmet shaped, purple.
Did you know, Mason, Ethan Embry won the role of Nightcrawler after Alan Cumming's had to step out? But he came back.
Oh.
What do you think of Ethan Embry? You've seen Can't Hardly Wait.
Yeah, he's fine.
Yep.
He wouldn't have been as religious-y, I wouldn't think.
No, he doesn't have the chops.
No chops.
Alan Cumming is always, they've talked about getting him back or whatever, but every time he's always like, I'm not getting in that makeup
right,
again.
Exactly.
Zed Zero took 10 hours to become Nightcrawler in the scene where he's fully covered, where he's got the little religious tattoos and whatever, which I think you said are entirely unnecessary.
Absolutely they are. That's never been part of the character as far as I know. I think he was a little bit Catholic.
Yeah. Well, I think he became a priest at one point, didn't he? Or he was training or whatever.
Well, less tattoos.
Less tattoos.
Yeah.
Priests
more
have tattoos.
Catechisms. Sure. I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Did you know, Mason, when Wolverine is in the adamantium processing chamber, do you remember that? Where he goes and he's like, where did I come from?
Right. Uh-huh.
My memories are coming back to me, sort of. You remember?
Yeah.
They really need to drop that whole memory thing. It's been long enough, don't you think?
Yeah.
They dropped it in the comics. Mm-hmm. Just have him remember stuff. Also, it's not a bullet to the head that gives him his trauma. It's like, isn't it his mutation, his healing factor that blocked
sort of
out memories?
Sort of papers over painful memories.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's pretty cool. Mm.
Being shot in the head, that kind of painful memory. Of being shot in the head with adamantium bullets.
Here's something for you.
It's probably a combination of things.
I'm sure it is. Yeah. Bad luck.
Yep.
Some other stuff.
Uh-huh.
There's also an X-ray of what appears to be like a metal wing.
Oh, like an Archangel wing.
Yeah, yeah. And so alluding to Archangel. So yeah, so there you go. That's pretty interesting.
Hmm.
And then he turns up in a later film.
Yeah.
Briefly. And saves his dad from
as
a window.
As a regular angel, yeah.
As a regular angel, yeah, yeah. Do you know Mason?
Yes.
During the scene where Professor X is Professor X-ing everybody in the world. No. Stryker's son is Professor X-ing everybody in the world. There's a bit where, you know, he's trying to kill all the mutants. Well, they were going to include scenes where Hank McCoy turns into, like, the Beast.
Right, right, okay.
And because Hank McCoy's actually in this movie. Oh, you see him on the television in human form.
Interesting.
It's not Kelsey Grammer. There's a whole lot of moments in these movies where it's like...
A lot of continuity errors.
A lot of continuity. Yeah. I mean, for example... Kitty Pryde is played by three different actors in the first three.
Uh-huh.
X-Men movie. There's also was going to be a bit of like Gambit and he's gambling and he's got his cards.
He's gambitling.
He's gambling.
Thank you. He's gambitling.
And his cards explode his hands or whatever. But you don't see his face because they
Now,
but they shot this as well.
Kelsey Grammer is the Beast. He in human form, he doesn't necessarily have to look like Kelsey Grammer though.
That's a good point.
And also, I'm gonna no prize this one and just say he had a little image inducer. Like in the comic books, he's always had a little device, like a holographic device so he can look human.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd say by X-Men 3, he's like, I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
I'm going to look blue.
Jam it.
Yeah. Jam it, society.
Oh, man. There were some sets in this movie that were not used. They had, like, the Danger Room, which didn't use. People were clamoring.
Which came back for X-Men 3.
It did. There was a whole lot of... there was also going to be a setting, like an underground base, where they were going to have a Nightcrawler Toad fight. How good would have that
been? That would have been great.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he never came back, Toad. People say that he came back in 3 because there's a guy who kind of looks
people
like
Toad. Say he came back in spirit.
Nope. There's a guy who looks like Toad.
Anytime I blow my nose too hard and snot and blood comes out, he was there.
So, yeah.
Anytime I stick my tongue on a cold pole in wintertime, it sticks.
Toad. He's there. What was I going to say?
Anytime I pull somebody's glasses off and lasers shoot out of their eyes. Yes, I know it's not laser. It's a concussive force blast. I know. Don't email.
There's a whole lot of misconceptions about Cyclops' eyes as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, isn't it that energy shoots out is like from another dimension and his body's like a conduit for it? Isn't it something like that?
I don't think so. I think he absorbs ambient energy from the air.
That's part of it, but that's what opens the dimensions
that's
in his eyes or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's a thing.
All right.
Shaquille O'Neal apparently badly wanted to be in this film and actively complained.
Right?
He may have complained.
That sounds like Shaq.
Bloody typical. Didn't get it. Who could have he been? Anyone, I guess. Any giant mutant.
Yeah, I guess so.
Juggernaut.
Colossus?
Colosso.
Mm-hmm.
But Colossus is Russian.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter,
there
I guess.
Black Russians.
It. How dare you.
I'm drinking one right now. I'm on the sauce.
There was also a scene that David Hayter, I don't know who that is.
Screenwriter.
He was disappointed because he felt that James Marsden deserved more screen time, which I agree with.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he gets Professor X'd.
He does,
pretty
that's
early
true.
On. And then he comes back and then he fights a Jean. And then he's like, I'm fine, don't worry about it. And then
that's true, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's great, but that character is so criminally underwritten.
It really is.
Yeah. Oh, well. There's also an extended scene that doesn't appear in the final film, Mason, nor is an additional scene. But apparently it exists where Cyclops fights Lady Deathstrike, and he picks up two nightstick things, prison guard nightsticks, and, like, fights her. How good would have that been?
Great.
Yeah.
There are a lot of great action sequences that were not filmed for this.
Yeah.
And we were left with some okay action sequences.
No, no, this was another one that was filmed. But I guess because they did one with Wolverine, so you're not going to do another one, I guess.
Exactly. And one of those...
Oh, no, that would have been at the plastic prison, because she's at the plastic prison.
Right, right, right. Yeah, okay.
God damn it.
Hmm.
Anyway. According to Bryan Singer, this is the first film featuring a woman piloting an American military aircraft.
Huh.
Apparently that's not true, though.
Oh, great.
He said that.
Right.
Not true.
Yeah.
So I guess Mason...
He says a lot of things.
He does, doesn't he? Mm. I enjoyed this film. I'm definitely going to say best movie ever.
Yeah, I'm going to say also, the fight sequence between Wolverine and Lady Deathstrike is great.
Sure.
But especially because he hasn't reached that level of super invulnerability yet.
Yep.
That he reaches the peak at sort of X-Men 3.
Yeah.
But like you can clearly see that this...
She could kill him. Because she's got that bit where she's got him pinned and like stabbing him multiple times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. That's a solid action sequence.
That is. Yeah. It really is. She's a cyborg, isn't she?
Yes.
Was she a cyborg in that?
Yes.
I don't think she was.
No, she was, because the...
I thought that was just adamantium stuff inside.
Yeah, but they were cyborgy.
I don't think so.
There were extendable claws.
Yeah, Wolverine's got extendable claws.
Yeah, but they're not... No arguing with you, is there?
I'm going to say she's not a cyborg.
I'm going to say best movie ever because she is a cyborg.
Okay. I guess I have to say worst then?
Yep, that's right.
I really enjoy it, but them's the rules.
That is the rules, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. X-Men 3, Mason. Mm-hmm. This is when many people say the franchise took a downward franchise.
Uh-huh, they did.
I don't think it's that bad.
It's okay.
It's okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There is one specifically much worse film.
Correct.
But I remember at the time I was like, that was an okay way to end this whole thing that mm-hmm. happened. What did you think at the time of it? 2006?
Yeah, it was fine. There you go. They had that Sentinel fake out in it.
They did.
Everybody was very excited. I think that was the first letdown.
Yeah.
Is that we thought this was going to be Days of Future Past.
Well, that was a homage to Days of Future Past. Exactly. And the first time we saw the Danger Room, two things people want to see.
Yep. Ugh. That's kind of the Spider-Man 3, bring in Venom, kill him straight away kind of thing.
Nah,
I want to see the Danger Room, I want to see Sentinels. Well, those things are silly. Let's put them in the opening sequence and then reveal that they're dumb.
Yep, absolutely. Also, you know Gambit was supposed to be in this movie? And he was going to be
an actor?
No. I mean, there was a number of people went for it and whatever usual names thrown up, just name a white actor.
That guy from Arrow.
Yep, he was up for it. So there you go. But he was removed from the script. Oh, here we go. Channing Tatum was in the was up for the role. Who's apparently up for it right now?
That's right. So he's been working on his accents.
That was when I think I've mentioned this before, where Taylor Kitsch and him were going head to head for the same roles.
That's right. Yeah.
And he won the Gambit role eventually, Taylor mm-hmm. Kitsch, but yeah. he won the wrong Gambit role.
Do you think one day Taylor Kitsch and Channing Tatum will meet on the street and Channing Tatum will apologize for stealing his career?
Yes.
I hope so.
You know,
what else happened in X-Men 3? Anything interesting?
The bridge bit was cool.
Yep.
That was apparently carried over from another movie, though.
That's right.
From a previous movie. The casting of Beast was great.
Uh-huh.
That was actually the guy who directed First Class. Mm-hmm. Whatever his name is.
Oh, Matthew Vaughn.
Matthew Vaughn. That was his casting choice.
Okay.
He also brought on Vinnie Jones as the Juggernaut.
Which is not as good.
But
there's nothing wrong with Vinnie Jones. That is a very poorly...
He looks like he's had some head injuries. I think there's something wrong with Vinnie Jones.
Probably. I mean, it's a casting choice. Listen, that Juggernaut, that's a very poorly designed Juggernaut.
Yes, it is.
I think, obviously, they have to... They wanted to keep X-Men in sort of a real-worldy kind of situation.
Okay,
they wanted
everything
to look... You know, they don't want him to be 10 feet tall.
No.
That would be ridiculous. However tall the Juggernaut's supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah.
So they had to make him just a weird buff looking man.
In a weird rubber muscle suit.
Yeah, no, it doesn't work at all. No, don't like it.
Yeah, well, this is, the plan was for this, though, like they're going to cap off this trilogy and then kind of spin off like Star Wars movies and do like prequels and whatever. And uh-huh. you do all those origin movies. Wolverine Origins obviously killed any chance of that like, properly happening. But as we've said before, that's okay.
Yeah.
Because we don't need origin movies for everybody. Have your spin-off movies.
Uh-huh.
The Wolverine works infinitely better than Wolverine Origins for 1,000 reasons.
Uh-huh.
One of them being that you don't know where he's eventually going to end up.
Right, exactly.
Like, you know in bloody that other one that I mentioned. Yeah. I get so confused. And it's such a dumb title. X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Mm.
It's so hard to say and think about.
What I disliked about X-Men 3 is that there was so many generic...
Truck flips.
But a lot of... They love their truck flips.
Yeah.
There was so many generic mutant villains, I thought. And there was a lot of... There seemed to be a lot of combining.
Yeah.
There was a character who I think had, like, superhuman speed and pheromone powers or something.
Oh, okay,
there's a version of
Callisto. Yeah, you're right. Yep.
There was a character who could have been Psylocke, but maybe she wasn't Psylocke.
The one-inch spikes guy.
Yeah, our favorite character.
He's got the powers of, I can't remember who it is, but it's like a porcupine-style character.
Uh-huh.
But his actual name is the X-Men student with the pink hair?
Is that his name?
That's his name. I really explained that poorly. Uh-huh. But he's basically got the name of one and the powers of another.
Right, exactly.
Or the look of another.
Uh-huh, yeah.
It's bizarre.
So, yeah, there were a few of that. And that reached the territory of kind of, you know, in Transformers 2 and 3.
Yeah.
Where there's just a whole bunch of generic ones.
Yeah. There's a whole lot of... Because remember in that final battle, which is fine, but there's a whole lot of teleporters and a whole lot of can fly.
There's heaps of Nightcrawler teleporters. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
I like to think of... You know, the X-Men universe, everybody's unique.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of the point of those characters?
Yeah, that is exactly the point. Yeah.
I did like the appearance of Multiple Man.
Yeah,
Jamie Madrox. Cool. I kind of want... I would like to see a Multiple Man film.
Featuring the same actor?
He seemed very genial.
Sure.
Do you remember when all the good guys converge on like the hundreds of people and they all just combine back into him and he's like, hey,
that's right.
Hey, it's me, kind of thing. So he was, you know, he was the happiest mutant around.
He sure was.
Yeah. But I really like that character.
Yeah,
and he's got a lot of he's had a couple of there was a Madrox ongoing series and a what was it called?
Madrox the Magician.
No, it was called X Factor.
Okay.
Yeah, and he was.
I've seen that TV show.
Yeah, exactly. But he was he formed X Factor Investigations, and he was like a one man. Detective agency.
He was everyone.
And he would also, because what happens is he can split off into multiple people, and when they combine back together, he retains all their memories. He gains all their memories.
That's
so
cool.
So he, you know, if he could send one off to spy, that person would, that version of him would come back and give him all the memories. But also, what he would do is he would, at the beginning of the series, it revealed that he'd sent off copies of himself, like, that had been gone for years, and like he'd had one go off and learn martial arts, and when that version came back, suddenly he's a black belt.
That's amazing.
That is amazing, right?
There's a lot you can do with that.
There's a lot you can do with that character. See, that's what I'm talking about.
They did none of that.
Yeah, like a character. Yeah, exactly. Like a character with Toad, he's got limited powers, but he knows what he's doing with them.
Yeah.
If a character spent their whole life with certain powers, they're gonna find some uses for them eventually, right?
It's a really good point.
Yeah,
you should make that movie.
I will. I'll make a short film. It'll be great. It'll be terrible.
Yeah. Cool.
X-Men 3.
Do you want to know how long...
I'm going to say worst movie ever.
Well, I'm not finished. I've got a bunch of stuff that could
build this will probably build it right back up again for me.
Well, do you want to talk... Oh, no, we'll come back to how he gets Professor X. Oh,
okay, yeah.
But you know how long Cyclops is in this movie for?
Is it like 12 minutes?
4 minutes and 40 seconds.
4 minutes and 40 seconds. I overestimated by quite a lot.
Yes. I mean, he obviously went to
He's such a towering presence that it seemed like 3 times as long.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, he left to do Superman Returns. But he's a massive player in the Phoenix saga.
Yeah, absolutely.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
And not at all. It's another, again. I mean, that's, I would say that's less of the, those involved's fault. Like, James, he left to do something else. But even if he was there, they would have given him fuck all to do.
Yeah, exactly. Because Wolverine's the main character,
right.
Essentially. They want to give him the love interest also.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly. Hmm. Exactly. You know, Matthew Vaughn actually dropped out because he didn't have enough time to make it. He's like, I can't make this film that I want to make. Because he had, I think, 2 years or less than 2 years.
Uh-huh.
But he had less time to do the X-Men First Class movie.
And he nailed that.
And he fucking nailed
it.
So I reckon... He really would have done something amazing with that movie, I think.
Maybe it's just a passion issue. Like,
yeah.
Maybe you don't want to do the second sequel in a series.
Yeah.
You want to do a new thing.
And yeah.
First Class is a new thing.
And he did a new thing. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
And First Class, you can sort of redefine the universe.
Yeah.
X-Men 3, you can't.
No,
you're stuck
with
the same toys.
So. Absolutely. Hmm. Bryan Singer, actually, when he dropped out, Hugh Jackman recommended Darren Aronofsky, who nearly did the Wolverine.
Yeah.
Actually, he would have been okay, I guess. But Joss Whedon also turned it down to work on his Wonder Woman movie, which he was working on at the time. And I would have liked to have seen either of those movies.
Absolutely, yeah.
Rob Bowman was apparently approached. You know him, he did Elektra, Reign of Fire, X-Files.
And he was approached.
He was approached.
He didn't show up at the... He didn't show up at the Fox lot and was like, hey, can I get some more movies?
What are you guys up to? This would have been after...
And they just slowly closed the shutters and pretended they weren't home.
I think he did Daredevil as well, didn't he?
Probably.
When he was approached, that would have been before Elektra came out. Also, Reign of Fire is pretty awesome.
I like Reign of Fire.
I like Reign of Fire. X-Files movie is nothing. I don't remember.
The first? No, the first one was fine.
I want to believe it's fine.
Yeah, clever.
Alex Proyas was approached.
Get up from Dark City.
Dark City, iRobot. He also did The Crow and Knowing with Nicolas Cage.
Well, that's... His star's taken a turn, hasn't it?
Yeah. Well, they were considered for the job, I should say. I said approached, but apparently it says considered. Zack Snyder was approached, but he was committed to 300, and Peter Berg was approached, but he turned down the job. He's done stuff, hasn't he?
Sure has.
He did Battleship, and that was
Taylor
Kitsch's
right.
finest work. Now, the reason they hired Brett Ratner is because they said he had experience making a successful film out of a rushed production, as he did for Rush Hour. That's not a pun. That is what...
But it is how people get hired in Hollywood.
That's exactly right.
Mark Webb.
Yeah.
For example.
For exams. Mm. In 2009, this is very interesting, Bryan Singer admitted that he regretted...
Bryan Singer directed The Wedding Singer.
He admitted he regretted declining to direct this film in favor of Superman Returns. I also regret that. Mm. Confessing that he realized his mistake before I was watching the third X-Men film, during watching it, and after watching it.
Oh, wow.
That's a real dig, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. I guess because he thought he was going to go away and make like the definitive Superman movie, mm-hmm. and he ballsed up Superman.
Well, he made the definitively boring Superman movie. Ha ha!
It's okay, that movie, but it's not great. No. I know, I've said it before. Mm-hmm. You love Superman Returns.
No.
Remember when he returns, though?
Oh, yeah, good point. I yeah. love that
bit. Bolivar Trask actually appears in it as well.
Portrayed by any ideas?
I can't remember. I think it's a black actor from memory.
Huh.
So, yeah. So, no prize me out of that one, you jerk. Mutation.
Do you remember? Yeah, I was remember that time the Punisher became black for a while?
Oh, yeah. Mm. What? How did that happen, though? Was it an experiment?
No, he was on the run, and I think he'd been cut to, like, his face had been cut to pieces by Jigsaw, who's his arch nemesis.
Who's also...
And then he went to, like, a back alley. He went to, like, a back alley plastic surgeon, and they're like, I'll fix you right up. Oh, by the way, I made you black. Right. And then, like, but he was black, and then, but he, and he had, like, he didn't look like, he wasn't Frank Castle, but he was black.
Yeah.
Like, he had, like... Like African American features, like
and hair,
yeah, well, like really close cropped hair.
Okay,
right, and then but he had like his face had been altered, like to have more like African, like classically African American kind of features. And then he went and he did like ghetto crime fighting for a while.
This was the 70s, right?
No, this was the 90s.
What?
The 90s. This was happening in the Punisher, like when the Punisher was super popular. Anyway, the point is that he. Like they like this the
did
story
he slang talk?
I don't think so. But
that's a missed opportunity.
That is a missed opportunity. But then like the storyline had to end because you know all great things had to end. So he had to become white again. But basically, so they just put in some lines about how this treatment was wearing off. And so by the end, like, and then like they've got him, the bad guys have got him cornered somewhere, and the last bit of the treatment wears off, and then he just busts out as a white Punisher again. Right, but his face has been altered.
Yeah.
He should look like an albino black guy. But he didn't, he was just the Punisher again. It made no sense.
If he did go back, shouldn't he have had a real messed up face again as well?
Yeah, yeah.
There are a lot of things wrong with that.
I thought he was going to say, if he went back, would he ever go black, which doesn't make any sense. But yeah, no, let's not dwell. Everybody look that up.
There are a lot
everybody
of things...
Everybody just Google that time the Punisher was black. There actually was a British... Like a British version of the Punisher who was black, but he was an actual...
See, that's all you need to do. You just got to swap him out.
Yeah, yeah.
That's bizarre.
Anyway, yeah.
I guess that was also at the time where, like... They were afraid to swap someone out for somebody else.
Correct.
Permanently.
Yeah.
But then Winter Soldier proved that you could do that, correct. I guess. One more piece of trivia, Mason. Mm-hmm. Hugh Jackman, Halle Berry, and Vinnie Jones, they also acted together in Swordfish.
Oh, they sure did, didn't they? I was just thinking about Swordfish today.
Do you remember that was like when you'd get a VHS tape? Swordfish was like the trailer before for showing off the sweet features of a DVD.
Yeah.
Because there was that explosion scene in it. I don't know if you remember.
And everything spins around.
Everything spins around. And the movie opens with that. And then it again happens like, I don't know, an hour or something in.
Uh-huh.
But Swordfish isn't good. John Travolta's best wig, though.
That's very true. It's a very sinister wig. That movie also is a film. John Travolta has an opening monologue at the start of Swordfish.
I remember.
Where he talks about the film Dog Day Afternoon.
Mm.
And it talks about how, you know, the media's effect on sort of violence and stuff like that. And it makes it out like it's going to be a much cleverer film than it actually is. And then it's just a terrible film.
And then they fly a bus in a helicopter.
They do fly a bus in a helicopter, yeah.
Yeah, that's not a good movie.
No.
Well, Mason, I hate to say... Oh, actually, one more thing before we move on.
Uh-huh.
How does he get Professor X'd?
Oh, he gets turned to dust.
Yep.
Just Phoenix explodes him.
Definitively Professor X'd.
You got as Professor X'd as you can. As Jamie Kennedy might say, he got X'd.
Is that what Jamie Kennedy says?
I think
says?
He did. I think he used to say that, yeah.
Great. Yeah. But of course, he does come back in the post-credits scene where he puts his mind into another guy's body or whatever.
Which is apparently his brother or something?
Yeah, his twin brother. That's
but
what
it didn't look anything like him, right?
Well, he didn't really say it properly, but he had a beard.
Right. Oh, I see.
Well, it'd have to be, because how else is he going to come back for the new one anyway? He looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
Also,
I think they're just going to gloss over it.
They probably will. You're right. Yeah. Well,
I reckon we'll get a bit of "there's no time." Now go back and time travel where there's plenty of time.
Now, Mason, I hate to do this, but I think we should do the remaining three X-Men movies.
Just
X-Men Wolverine Origins, The Wolverine, and First Class. Not in that order. We'll do that next week, I think.
Okay.
Because we're already well over an hour.
Okay. Let's do that.
Not well over. We're a little bit over it.
Yeah.
So next week we'll do Godzilla and we'll do those last three X-Men movies.
All together.
Now.
Great.
That was an Australian show.
All right.
Do you remember that one?
No.
All together now?
Oh, yeah, I do remember that, yeah.
Don't look it up anyway.
Don't nobody look it up.
I've got all this sweet trivia though. I'll just have to save it for next week.
Save it for next week, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, Mason, before we go, of course, we've got a very famous segment we have to do. What are we reading?
And what are we going to read? Yeah.
Theme song. I'm doing the thing. What
are we reading today? Great theme song.
Great theme song. Now, Mason, yes. Michael Little wrote in. He reads a lot of comics and whatnot, in particular, non-superhero comics.
Somebody eventually is going to write in and say, "Hey, Mason, do you never actually think of something you're going to read?" And just have to sort of...
Well, you've already recommended Black Punisher.
So. Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Guys, read that time The Punisher was black. I don't know how many issues it was. It was sometime in the 90s.
I hope it was called That Time the Punisher Was Black.
Yeah,
that would
too.
Be the best.
Yeah.
Well, Michael Little wants to know, if you're going to start reading comic books, superhero ones in particular, where do you start?
Oh.
And I picked an X-Men one to start with because this is an X-Men themed episode.
Yep.
But just quickly before I get into that, if you're going to read a Superman one, read Superman Birthright, I would say first.
That is good.
It's a good origin one.
Are you saying read something that's now out of continuity?
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
It's a good origin story. It's a standalone thing. You don't need to know anything else.
Oh, this is somebody who's never read comics
before.
If you're trying to introduce somebody to comics. Yeah, you can do that.
I don't know. I'm trying to think. What else?
I like...
Which Batman would you introduce? I'd say Year One and then Long Halloween and then... What's the one after that? Dark Victory.
Yeah, okay. That's... Yeah, good. Year One's would be an excellent choice.
Yeah.
I think the very first Grant Morrison Justice League.
Absolutely.
Four issues.
Yeah.
That one's really good.
Yep. All the new 52 stuff is pretty much... It's a good jumping off point.
Uh-huh.
Like, you could easily pick up the new Batman.
Yeah, yeah.
A
lot of people will be like, oh, you should give somebody wants to read comic books of superheroes, give them Watchmen. Don't give them Watchmen.
No.
That's a bad idea.
No.
It's great. But
it's great. It's amazing.
But it's a deconstruction of the superhero genre. And if you don't know what the superhero genre is about, then it won't make any sense to
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Yeah. Really good point. Also, you should read Batman versus Predator.
Read Batman versus Predator.
You laugh, but it's amazing.
It is amazing. Just the first one, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
What about Superman versus Aliens?
Don't read that one.
Not good.
No.
Not good. Iron Man Extremis.
That's a good one,
It's really good.
Yep.
You could probably read Wolverine. I really like Old Man Logan.
Yeah.
Because if you know anything about the Avengers, if you've seen the movies, you can follow along Old Man Logan.
I guess that's true, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you've seen the X-Men movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the X-Men book I want to read in particular, you got me onto this actually. I didn't read a lot of X-Men, but you...
This sounds like something that I don't remember, but go ahead.
You gave me a copy of Astonishing X-Men Volume 1, Gifted, Joss Whedon wrote.
Mm-hmm.
It won awards and whatever at the time. It's from like 2003 or something like that. And it's basically, it's about the mutant cure, which is part of the X-Men 3 movie.
Uh-huh.
And it's return of a long-lost character in the book. And it's a... Without spoiling anything or whatever, it's a terrific read, and it's also a great introduction. It's not a reboot, but it's kind of a refreshed kind of take on the X-Men franchise. And they say, according to Wikipedia, that it is the best X-Men story for like 10 years.
There you go,
prior to that. Mm-hmm. You've read that one, obviously.
I'm glad I recommended it to you.
So yeah, read X-Men Volume 1, Gifted, and then Volumes 2, 3, and 4. I can't remember the names of them. Off the top of my head. Afterwards, they're all really,
more
really
gifted.
Good.
More gifted. Heaps more gifted.
Too gifted, too furious.
Yeah.
You got any X-Men to recommend in particular?
I think you should read some of the old Chris Claremont X-Men ones from the 80s.
Sure.
Just to see how it was done back in the day.
Okay.
You don't remember.
Yep.
Bearing in mind, at the time, great.
J. Just that's all you're going
to
say?
Not so much. There was it was very much the era of explaining your powers as you use them.
Yeah.
There was a lot of thought bubbles. Remember thought bubbles?
I do.
Yeah. Go back and give those a read.
Vividly.
Yeah. Give those a read. Yeah.
There you go. Mm. Now, Mason, I just want to give a... As we move on from what are we going to read, what are we going to read? I invented this segment. I can never get it right. Kevin Ealy, wrote in. I always get his name wrong. You remember him and Eddie were involved in the feud.
I do remember that feud, sure.
He is sent in a letter stepping down from the competition.
Wow.
He sent a letter.
Wait, is it a letter or is it a passive-aggressive letter? Like, hey, if you want to keep this little thing going.
Not at all. It's quite amusing. Because he wrote in, and I initially took his first email as...
For those who don't know what we're talking about.
Sorry.
We've released a couple of audio commentaries for two films so far.
Yes. Theweeklyplanet.bandcamp.com.
There you go. Give those a listen. X-Men... Wait, sorry.
We're going to do that one.
Yeah. We're going to do X-Men First Class, right?
Yeah, we'll do it this week, so hopefully we'll get that up this week.
Yeah, so we did Captain America First Avenger and we did Amazing Spider-Man.
Yes.
And basically, two of our listeners have decided at some point to feud over how much to pay for those episodes.
Yes, absolutely.
Bearing in mind, you can get them for free.
Yes, absolutely. You definitely can. Because remember, Eddie, it's Eddie kept saying for him to eat a bag of dicks and such. There's a lot of that going on. Yeah. Anyway, he wrote an email, and it was a very funny email, but I took it as, because I remember I read it at work, and my guys kind of skimmed over it, and I took it as, oh, I've insulted this guy who's donated, which wasn't the case at all.
Uh-huh.
And he wrote back, he goes, oh, no, whatever, don't take offense. And now I feel like an idiot because I completely misread that. But he did release this statement, Mason. Are you ready?
Here we go.
Dear Weekly Planet, I would like to take this opportunity... Oh, this is from Kevin Ealy. Ealy. Fuck. This is from Kevin Ealy. Dear Weekly Planet, I would like to take this opportunity, with great weight in my heart, to admit defeat to Eddie.
Oh, wow. Well.
When I undertook this campaign that I had no idea I was in, of being the best... I trained night and day. I didn't go to work. I spent every waking hour obsessing over how I could be the best. And with great regret, I lost. It is a little humbling to put everything you have into something, only to realize that you just aren't good enough. Little did I know I would come up against such a valiant competitor as Eddie. A man with skills above any other, with an apparent unending supply of dicks at his disposal. In which to prove his superiority. I had a dream that unfortunately has been crushed under the heel of a man who in many ways is just like Santa Claus. Going from home to home with a sack over his shoulder, except in his case, his sack is filled with dicks instead of toys for kids. So exactly the same, but different. I would like to apologize to my parents for failing them, as well as the listeners of the Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com.
Good plug.
Ultimately, I blame Mason.
Yeah, that's fair. Look,
Well said.
I think, you know, with that message of contrition, in many ways, Kevin is the winner. I mean, he's not, obviously. Eddie's the winner because of all the money. But, you know.
I'd like to take this opportunity.
That was fantastic.
I know. What a brilliant letter. To thank both Kevin and Eddie.
Absolutely. And everybody who paid for the audio commentaries or just listen to them.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope you guys can be best friends.
Or listen to this.
Yeah.
Or talk to me in real life.
There's one more thing I've got to mention, Mason. Jonathan Boozer.
Yeah, Booze.
The Booze. Great bloke. We've talked about him before. He transferred us $150.
What?
That's insane. So I guess he's the winner?
Oh.
There's no competition. No, I just want to make this clear. There's not. Please don't try to keep better each other. But I just want to say what a legend. He even prompted me, because every time somebody sends me a big donation, I like email them like, is this a mistake?
Yeah.
But
Have you put the decimal place in the wrong spot? Did you mean to donate 15 cents?
So I, before he could, he emailed me and he goes, no, this is a mistake. Don't worry about it. So what a legend.
Wow. Fantastic.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah, amazing.
Who knows what rivalry he'll get into, Mason?
I hope it's with a gang.
Yeah. Mason, one more thing.
I'm ready.
This is a letter from, hang on, I got to find the name because I have made a mistake. Mistakes are free.
Also, I appreciate that he sent that donation and he didn't require that you call me a dickhead or something like that, which is usually what most people require when they donate. So, fantastic.
Rafael Gonzalez.
Oh.
Hi, guys. Big fan and have been listening since the beginning. So, he's been through that wild ride of varying audio quality since day one. Yep. My wife just gave birth to a healthy baby girl. Love it.
Wow.
That's the second officious. That's the second official baby of comicbookmovie.com, Mason.
Wow, congratulations.
Calling it?
Yeah, absolutely.
We've named her... I can't really claim this baby for that, can I?
It's a bit presumptuous, but yeah. Do it anyway.
We have named her Catherine... Catherine...
Give me the...
It's late,
man.
Go for it. Read it.
Yeah, Catherine Christopher.
Yeah.
Wow, okay, in honor of my favorite Superman, Christopher Reeve.
He's the best!
That is amazing, yeah.
I know, right?
Would love shout out to my wife and I and our newest comic book movie fan. Shout out! And as a native New Yorker, I love your NYC accents.
Forget about it.
He's written lol here. I think maybe he's being sarcastic, but I'm taking it as genuine.
Absolutely. What a legend. So Mason, it's been what a week. I'm sorry we didn't get through all the X-Men movies. I realized going through this that this was going to take up many hours.
Uh-huh.
And people don't need that.
they got stuff to do.
So yeah, as I said, next week, Godzilla. We're going to see it this week. Reviews are coming in. Do you want to hear what they're saying so far?
Are they saying mediocre?
They're saying it's okay.
Great. Yeah.
They're saying not enough Godzilla.
Uh-huh.
So people are never going to be happy. It's either
are they
too
saying
much or too
much Bryan Cranston?
No one has ever said that.
Correct.
Yeah. Not even Bryan
Cranston.
So
maybe his wife, if you know what I mean. A little too much Bryan Cranston.
So yeah, they're like, there's too much emphasis on human characters or whatever, which there probably is, I guess. Uh-huh. I don't know. Well, we'll find out this week.
Yeah, they got to strike that balance. Because realistically...
there are no giant lizards.
Well, that's true. I mean, we want just 2 hours of a giant lizard destroying the city. Or do we?
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Some people said there were too many fights in Pacific Rim.
Some would say, we'll never be happy with a Godzilla film.
Well, he is too fat.
He is.
As the
fat.
Japanese
yeah,
have
yeah.
said.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess that's the show for this week, Mason.
Fantastic.
Anything you want to plug before you go?
No. Do I ever have anything to plug?
Yeah, you know. You're like, you got a thing on? You're about?
No, this week I don't have any things on.
Cool.
Find me on Twitter at Wikipedia Brown.
Absolutely.
At reply at me. And I will have to reply at you.
Ask him all sorts of questions.
Yeah, please do.
Questions you could easily look up on the internet, but instead direct them at Mason.
At me, please. I'll put a delightful spin on them in 140 characters or less.
Absolutely. I'm not good at Twitter. You're pretty good at Twitter. I don't feel I'm good at it. You've mastered it. Well done.
Thank you.
You can find me at Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube now.
Yeah.
And you can find us both at Weekly Planet Pod on Gmail, Facebook, Twitter also.
God, we've got so many social media contact details.
You know it.
Mm.
Come subscribe to the YouTube channel if you
Pinterest.
Want to. We should.
Pinterest?
What happens on that?
You just pin things.
Like...
voodoo dolls. Yeah. It's a voodoo doll based social
and like,
media.
And like frogs that you're dissecting.
Yeah, absolutely. All those things.
Great.
Mm.
Well, Mason, have a good week.
Toads. So we were talking about Toad.
Good
we?
Work.
Great.
Well done. Yeah, you looking forward to X-Men this week?
Yes.
We're going to see it. Yeah.
It's going to be great.
We're going to meet Hugh Jackman.
Mm.
We're not.
Remind me it's going to happen because I'll forget.
Okay,
fantastic.
I'll shoot you a Evite.
Okay, maybe this one.
I'll pin interest you.
Thank you. Maybe this will be the one where I pretend that I haven't, that I've seen it, but I actually haven't seen it. Despite the fact that I'll be sitting next to you in the cinema. Like you'll turn around and I'll just be some blankets and pillows tied together.
I would love that. All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.